Hour number two of overtime, Fan Run Radio, Jake Miller, John Dunn, Max Pennell, and you, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, online at fanrunradio.com, powered by Linderman Sports Medicine and on your free Fan Run Radio app. Appreciate everybody listening in. We have assembled the roster of everyone that wanted to be on it. Some people are playing both sides of the ball. John, you're one of them.
You got Max. Me a wide receiver, don't you?
Yes.
That's awesome.
So, we have three games that we need to put on the schedule. Unfortunately, our out of division, actually, we got two on here, looks like. Yeah, we only have one, two, three games that we can just say, okay, we can play whoever we want. We open up against Texas, at Texas to start the season, and then we go to LSU and everything else is in our division after the fact. Obviously, Alabama and Auburn now in the East. Who are we playing in week two? I am siding with number three, Stanford.
Neutral site. I say neutral site.
Oh, we got to get back to Neyland, man. We'll do a neutral site for, like, somebody else.
Okay. At Neyland, give me somebody give me an Iowa or a Wisconsin.
Oh. Let's see what we can find here.
Or maybe even Nebraska.
I like that. Battle of the 90s.
Ooh.
Let's see if we can get it down here when we're supposed to play.
See if you can get Tom Osborne as the coach of Nebraska, too.
Yeah. Oh, here you go, John. Oregon.
Ooh. That's a good one, too. Any one of those options.
Alrighty.
I'm sticking Nebraska there and then Oregon later on.
You know what? We can't do Nebraska, but we can do Notre Dame.
Yeah, Notre Dame, that's a good matchup, too.
Notre Dame at a neutral site?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Where are we doing it at? Cowboy Stadium? The Georgia Dome?
Georgia Dome.
Oh, yeah, Georgia Dome. Got to keep it in the South.
Let's do it. Tennessee Notre Dame at the Georgia Dome in week five. This is not real life.
If it was, man, I swear, that sounds so good. That sounds so nice.
Oh, it sounds beautiful, doesn't it?
Good. When's the last time Tennessee played Notre Dame?
Probably during the Jimmy Clausen years, I think. No, we played him in 04, I think. Did we not? I think we played him in 04.
I'll look it up.
I think so.
And, of course, you got to go through recruiting. I'm not really caring about who we get or whatever. I'm happy with the roster that I have assembled.
05 was the last time. We lost 41-21.
Oh, yeah, that was during the bad – that was Fulmer's first bad year. Yeah. That was not a good year. For those of you that were not alive, that was a terrible, 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 terrible year.
Or for those of you that were still in diapers, Max.
Oh, man, why did we have to bring that up?
We're old, Miller.
We're getting there.
Yeah, you're catching up to me, buddy.
Yeah, we're not in good shape, are we?
No, I'm definitely not. Like I said, man, if I turn my head too fast anymore, I'm down for a month.
You know what? Let's let the computer handle recruiting.
Yeah.
If it happens, it happens. Build and they will come.
That's the 13-14 recruiting class. Who all was in that class?
Oh, nobody. Nobody that we would know. Nobody with real attributes or name, image, or likeness that we would even know.
Oh, yeah. I know it's generated. I'm just trying to think in real life who all was in that class. It's been so long ago.
For us, it would have been – that would have been the legacy class. So Jalen Hurd, Vic Wharton,
yep,
that's the Barry
class.
Twins, Dylan Bates,
and of course they quit making the game right then, right when we start getting a couple pieces, you know.
Of course, let's get Oliver in here next. What do you say, Oliver? Hey, Oliver, what's up, buddy? Hey, Oliver.
We got you, Ollie.
Call back, Oliver. We can't hear you. Try that again. Yeah, that's amazing. Just think about that far back. It's like we had these guys.
So if you have the bare bones, like when you get an opportunity, see what the overall is for the bare bones, straight up actual roster team when you get a chance.
Oh, like for the tomorrow. Actual Tennessee team?
Yeah.
It was like, I think 88 overall.
Was it? I thought it was way lower than that. I thought it was in the 70s.
No, we never got that low.
Because when I went to play, you know, I was playing the Alabamas, FSUs, Oregons of the world in online head-to-heads, you know, it was a pretty big disparity in ranking and, like, ratings and things.
Yeah, that was I'm trying to think. I can't think of whether or not it was either an 88 or a 86, I'm pretty sure. I'll check it out tomorrow.
Yeah, I feel like it was on the lower end. Yeah, definitely fill it out later. See, I know you're going to be up all night anyways playing it. So when you get a chance, take a peek at it.
I will. Right now, we've got Angus, the Clemson fan, up next. What do you say, Angus?
What's up, everyone?
Living the dream, man. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right.
What are we talking about today?
Well, we're playing NCAA 14 on an Xbox 360 that I got on Facebook Marketplace, to tell together by electrical tape. So, yeah, that's pretty much how our day's going.
Okay. I'm just delivering pizza right now, trying to make some money.
Hey, no knocking hard work, man.
Hey, Miller loves pizza.
Working hard.
Could be worse, man.
What do you guys think about Clemson for next season?
What's that?
What do you guys think about Clemson for next season?
Well, it's all going to depend on the quarterback play. I mean, you guys had to throw what's-his-face out there against us, having no real experience. Yeah, he had a great game.
Klubnik.
Cade
Klubnik, yeah. I mean, he basically got thrown out there for the first time against some stouter competition than what he played the week prior or the game prior. But, you know, it's that's what it's all going to depend on. It's going to depend on that.
Yeah, and they're trying to adapt a new offense too. So that'll hinge on that. They said, you know, Dabo's been talking about how they're going to try to resemble a little bit more of the up tempo offenses, and I think a lot of that's due to the Orange Bowl. But you know, without the interceptions, he looked serviceable, especially to be that young. I mean, he's got a high ceiling, so I think Clemson's going to be in good shape, especially if they can fix up a couple of the things on the defensive side of the ball. I think between them and FSU, that's the ACC right there.
Yeah, we got a lot of young guys coming in. I don't know if you saw Sammy Brown committed.
Yeah, that's huge.
Number one linebacker. Yeah.
We thought we had
He's
a chance
good.
Him.
We just got a young team. Oh, we'll see.
Appreciate the phone call, man. Angus, the Clemson fan. Want to talk some Clemson football with us.
You know, I found something out today. I was watching Toy Story with Lincoln, one of our players there on the Dynasty team. And Toy Story 2. It pans, or three, it's one of them, whatever. It pans down to Andy's toy box, and there's a Clemson Tiger sticker on the side of it.
Oh.
Random.
Yeah, right? I saw it, and I paused it. I was like, wait a minute. That's a Clemson helmet. It's got the paw print, and it says Tigers on it and everything. I'm like, wow, really?
By the way, we are projected to finish 7th in the East on this simulation, John.
Oh, we're going to embarrass some folks, dude. Wait till they get a load of this defense.
Oh, my goodness. We got Oliver back. Let's get him in here. What's up, Oliver?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
Every time I keep looking at this Auburn 2023 football schedule, I just see W after W. It's really going to come down to November 25th, Thanksgiving game versus Bama. I think Auburn is a good shot going undefeated with Peyton Thorne all the way through to that game. A lot of anticipation. I think it'll decide the SEC. What do you guys think?
Could y'all please
I want
just
what
beat
he's
them?
Drinking.
What's that?
I want what he's drinking.
Exactly. I mean, I want them to beat Alabama so bad every year during the Iron Bowl. I'm cheering for Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Who isn't?
So, I'm excited to see what Freeze can do. I think he's done a great job in the portal so far. They have talent down there. They always do. I went team by team the other day and predicted schedules. I actually had Auburn finishing 8-4, and I think that's roundabout where most people have them right now. And
I think
one
generous.
Critical game. Yeah, one critical game for me and them is A&M. If they can win the A&M game, find a way to get to 9-3 on the season, I think that's going to be huge, and that's going to put the West on notice.
Can I reveal a secret really quick?
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
If Jamie Chadwell went down to Auburn, I might be go Vols War Eagle, like all the way. Jamie Chadwell, being from my hometown, great guy. If he'd have went to Auburn, I'd have had to put on some orange and blue. I'm not going to fake it.
All right. Yeah. No, I like what you guys are saying. I definitely think this Auburn season, there's a lot to look forward to. It's, you know, they're getting out of the slump. Last year, not so good, 2-6 in conference. I think they're going to turn that around. Definitely win 5 conference games next year.
Which, Oliver, you got to take this into account, too. You know, it's as hard, but as simple as making the right hire. And Brian Harsin was not it, and he wasn't it from the beginning. and y'all did the right thing. You got rid of him quick. You found a reason to get rid of him, and you got rid of him. And then you go in and get somebody that has that experience, that has that want to, that has the will to win in the SEC, and I expect things to change drastically.
You know, with Freeze, and we talk about this all the time with players, we see the biggest jump, you know, in their growth and development from year one to year two. Now, I realize that Hugh Freeze is a seasoned head coach, but he's at a new destination, and I think if he can find a way, like I said, to go 9-3 this year, that jump.
You can make an impact immediately at Auburn.
Yeah, and he could go, you know, next season. I mean, the SEC West opens up a little bit more, I think. You know, LSU strengthening up a little bit. Alabama's going to be Alabama, but I mean, if Auburn finds a way to finish 9-3 and parlay that into next season, I mean, they're just as strong as LSU and Alabama right there. And I mean, with the way the SEC is about to shape up, they're going to all that strength is going to be needed. But Freeze could be extremely successful down there, and Auburn's going to be a team to watch in the West for sure.
Yeah, and with that new playoff, those new playoff rules coming in as well, I think Auburn's a team we'll see in that postseason every single year if they can win 9 or 10 games. And they're one of those teams, you know, it's not a rollover team. It's not a Washington. It's not an Oregon. It's kind of a team that you'll never, ever write off, even if it's a 12-1 scenario. So I think Auburn has a lot of good years going forward, and I'll be behind them.
Yep, absolutely agree.
I agree 100%.
All right, thank you, guys.
Appreciate the phone call, Oliver. All right, we ready for kickoff in game one?
Let's do it.
Tennessee at number 15. Texas, Tennessee wins. Coin tossed, and I have elected to receive.
No, bad decision. Already making bad decisions. Is Skelton kicking for us, though?
Yes, Skelton is kicking.
All right,
kicking.
Good. Yeah, we're solid then, but you should defer. Always defer.
Jordan Moore with the opening kickoff. He is at the 20 to the 25 to the 30, 35-40, 45-50, 45-40, 35-30, 15-10. Is there a marker down? I don't see one. Touchdown, Big Orange! On a 101-yard return, Jordan Moore.
Attaboy, Moore.
Six.
That's John's. Not our John, but the other John. John Ward.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Give him six.
That's my fraternity brother. I retired that phrase. So there you have it. 10 seconds into the Jake Miller regime, and we are up about to be 7-0 to Texas.
You still should have deferred.
No.
Always defer.
With this stout defense, Foster Corley on one side, Philly on the other. No, nobody is going to do anything against this defense.
I'm about to have a pick six right here.
Philly doesn't get to the quarterback first.
That's a good point. No, he's going to get to the quarterback, force an errant pass. I'm just going to pick that thing off like, I don't know what, take it back to the house.
And Skelton's going to boot one for a touchback as Texas takes over. I don't even remember who their quarterback was at the time.
About to pluck the apple from the tree, son. Take it to the house, I'm telling you.
All right, so 4-3, what are we running? I love that. I love the outside linebacker fireman. I know you love Tampa 2. We're going to blitz first play.
Yeah, I mean, you could go Tampa 2 and then individual adjustments with the outside linebackers, blitz them, keep your two middle linebackers in zone coverage.
Case McCoy is their QB.
Or you could take, who got a sack? Who in the world?
Three of your linebackers, drop them into blitz, and then put your other linebacker into a middle third read.
Dude, this guy just got touched and flopped like his name was LeBron.
Who hit him?
I don't know. Some generic dude. All right, here we are, 2nd and 15. Takes a snap. It's going to be a bubble screen, and looks like Tommy is going to get the tackle there. On the right side, Texas gains 4. It's going to be 3rd down and 11. No huddle from Texas. Here we go. 3rd down, drops back to pass, and he is going to get pummeled by Philly.
Attaboy, Philly.
Old double P.
Old 69, Phil makes the tackle, and it will be 4th and 23. Max Pennell back to return.
Ooh, look here. Can he match Moore's intensity?
Let's see here. Am I even going to get to see the field? What if that were the case? What if our quarterback, me, never got to see the field?
I think this is the first time I've seen a neck roll on a punt returner.
And Max takes it back to the house, 41 yards.
You playing on infant rookie mode?
Yeah, he's on rookie.
It's freshman. It's freshman.
Sorry.
What a scrub-a-dub-dub.
Hey, it doesn't matter. We're winning, right? I told you I was going to cheat.
It'll be on All-American.
Call me John Calipari. There we go. We're up 14-0. The offense hasn't even seen the field yet. That's how great of a coach I am. That's how great of a coach I am.
That would be the best team of all time. If your quarterback literally never played ever, that would mean you're the greatest team ever.
Well, Christian Skelton's never going to have to worry about a kick return because he's just booting him into the end zone, out of the back of the end zone, rather, every single kick.
Into the stands.
We have 0 yards of total offense. Texas has minus 13, and we're up 14-0.
Throughout that defense.
That defense is pretty stout, man. Oh, Phil making an impact immediately.
Yeah, Philly's always been a good one for us. You know, as a freshman, he came in. We knew he was going to be good. And by the time he's a sophomore, he's a headhunter.
Oh, Phil, with another tackle for a loss.
It's my end of the quarter interview there.
Oh, we're not to the end of the quarter yet. We're getting there.
I'm giving you an early one because it's already over.
It's already over?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This one's over. Warm up the bus.
I think you're right. And Foster Corley, coming off the end, gets the sack. It'll be 3rd and 20, Texas.
So speaking of third downs, I think that we should change away from Joker and the Thief and bring back third down for what?
Oh, I love that. They listened. They listened. We got it back for a few times, not the whole thing.
Coincidentally, the season that they did that, Tennessee led the nation in third down defense, and they've yet to be even what I would call serviceable on third down since then.
Well, it's one of those things. My view on third down for what, as we pause this game, is it's cool. I love it. But when you're playing third down for what and you're down by 30 points.
Yeah, that's different.
That's just stop.
I don't think they should play anything in that situation. Not Joker and the Thief, not Thunderstruck, not any of the old classic ones either. Nothing. I mean, you're down 35 points. The game is clearly over with. It's solemn. It should sound like a graveyard in there.
That it should. Stay with us. Hour number two continues on when we return right here on Fan Run Radio. Back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio. It's your quarterback, Jake Miller. Launches one downfield 30 yards to Jordan Moore for the touchdown. As we continue this meaningless simulation because we're that bored. But
Moore is going off.
That he is. He might be a Heisman candidate. Let's go back to the phones. Davis is next. What do you say, Davis?
Hey, how are y'all doing today?
Living the dream, man. How are you?
I'm good. Obviously, baseball going on. Everyone's excited for our chance to punch our ticket to Omaha, but I wanted to bring up a different point today.
What you got?
Y'all were talking yesterday about the worst recruiting class ever and you were reading off them names.
Yes.
Y'all remember what I'm talking about? I'm surprised y'all didn't give any love to my man Torin Poole back in the day. Completely skimmed over.
I did. I gave him a little bit of love.
Man, he had a 1,000-yard season back in 2010. That's the first Vols running back I got to my memory.
Torin Poole, he had a great game. My favorite game actually from 2010, Derek Dooley's first year when we played Oregon and we had a lot of momentum until the rain delay or the lightning delay, whatever that monsoon was that came through Neyland. I was there for that, and then we're all huddled up in the concourse. They're like, you can go to Thompson Bowling Arena. It's like, okay, yeah, let's just walk out into this monsoon where we might get struck by lightning, or we can go to the concourse where it's 150 degrees and I'm in a poncho. I'm covered in sweat standing next to another person that's covered in sweat. Torin Poole had a great game.
I remember that game vividly. I think they were ranked like, what was it, 2?
They were number 7 at the time, I'm pretty sure.
Up there, yeah.
Okay. Well, I remember we scored first, and I got way too excited. But I wanted to bring up another point today. That's running backs in this hype offense. Obviously, it's an air raid pass first to settle in the run game. But I wanted to know what y'all think the ceiling would be for running backs in this offense, and do you think that Tennessee would be an attractive place for top running back recruits to come in, or is it a low point because there's less emphasis on the run game?
Well, believe it or not, the running game can be explosive at times under this offense because, you know, we hear the saying all the time growing up, and it's like you got to run the ball to open up your passing game. But in the Heupel offense, you throw the ball to open up the run game,
yeah,
and that's why you get those explosive runs. It's like, guess what? These guys are picking up huge stats. These guys are stacking the stat book up. Guess what? We can make that happen for you as a running back, because right now everybody's worried about where we're going to throw the ball or what route this guy's running or what route that guy's running. Another fun thing about the Heupel offense is when we send people in motion, it's not to detect whether or not the defense is in zone or man. He's just running a guy in motion just to have him running in motion for the play. It's by design. And you pitch that to these running backs, like, guess what? You're going to pad some stats too.
Oh, no doubt. And I have no problem with the guys in the running back right now. I think they're more than serviceable. But, I mean, at the end of the day, they are three-star guys that they're not like your typical big names that, you know, come into a lot of programs such as Bama and Ohio State, obviously. Mm-hmm. But my question is, do we think that Heupel could be capable of pulling in some of those top names that could have, you know, 1,500-yard seasons or whatever and be first round and second round in the NFL draft?
I definitely think so. If you look, Jahmyr Gibbs was actually down to Tennessee and Alabama before he went to Alabama. Peyton Lewis just committed to Tennessee. I think it was last week, maybe the week before. Four-star running back out of Virginia. So Tennessee actually led the nation in rushing touchdowns for, I think it was throughout the regular season. So it can be an attractive place just as an offensive player, period. Other than if I'm an offensive lineman, I hate this offense just for the fact that I'm always running around, you know. But as a skill position guy, quarterback, wide receiver, running back, tight end, what have you, it's a very attractive, very lucrative place just for the sake of productivity, you know.
Yeah, I think, too, once Tennessee puts that first running back in the NFL under Heupel, then there won't this won't really be a question anymore, and recruits will obviously follow suit. But the point is valid in the fact that, yeah, we haven't, you know, recruited running backs the way we have receivers and quarterbacks yet, but I also think running backs, one of those positions, I mean, we see in the NFL, it's pretty replaceable. I mean, you can find running backs kind of somewhat easily compared to those other positions on offense. And, you know, you don't need a stud running back to win a national championship, I don't think.
By the way, we're up 28-0 on Texas right now, in case you were wondering.
Warm up the buses.
Speaking of recruiting, y'all see Sammy Brown the other day?
Yeah. That's, I mean, it sucks, man. Yeah. It does. But, you know, judging by what Heupel's been able to do in 2 years, and, you know, we talked about this with Phil the other day about how it's almost a borderline miracle that he was able to do what he did in the time that he was given. Because, I mean, you got to think, everyone, I wouldn't say everyone, but there were some people after that Florida game his first year, it's like, well, who's he recruited? It's like, dude, he didn't have a chance to recruit anybody. He got here after early signing day had already passed. I think we might have been just a couple of weeks, maybe a few days away from signing day proper, as we call it, in February.
It was a week, yep.
Yeah, so it's like, he doesn't have any of his guys in here. I mean, we had Joe Milton. That was it. But look at what he's been able to do in the short time that he's been here. And it's a borderline miracle looking back and seeing what he's done.
No doubt. I'll never take or give any Heupel slander at this point in time. I can remember the days of Butch Jones, and I would have to make excuses because he just went 5-7 for a second year in a row, and I just have to say in the back of my mind, well, he doesn't have his guys in yet. Let it get going. We don't need any excuses at this point because we're year two and we're winning 11 games. I just don't see anything negative you can say at this point.
No, and not to mention, he walked into a situation where he did not have the talent that was left here when Jeremy Pruitt got here, when Butch Jones got here. He did not have that talent.
Yep, half of them went to Oklahoma. So
yeah.
It shows his ability to build a team, though, I think. You know, we were talking about guys like Butch Jones, for instance, that walked into perfect situations. Give me a coach that can walk into a dumpster fire, put that thing out, and turn it into a garden of roses, because that's the coach that's going to take you somewhere.
Nobody. You got guys like Lincoln Riley that'll leave a top-tier job when they've juiced out every bit of potential and talent that they've had there and get scared because they know it's about to come crumbling down and leave before they get caught, kind of like Jimbo Fisher did at Florida State, and now he's at Texas A&M. With a buyout that nobody wants to pay, and they gave him this ridiculous contract, and they're stuck with him.
Yep.
Tell you another one. Mel Tucker.
Oh, yeah.
Thing is, if A&M really wanted to come up with the money, they could come up with $85 million and tell Jimbo Fisher to kick rocks. Michigan State is stuck with Mel Tucker. They don't have the money like some of these other programs do to actually fire him.
He robbed them blind.
Oh, he did.
You think he'll pan out, though, at some point?
No.
No.
He had the COVID year to his benefit. The Big Ten, was that the second year?
That was
2021.
Yes.
But he had that great season. I mean, he rode Kenneth Walker basically to that season. The recruiting's down, and they're the fourth best school in that division. I just don't see a path to what he's getting paid being worth it when you have to play Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State every year.
He's getting paid national championship money.
Yeah.
Well, how long do you let that drag out before you realize you've made a mistake and it doesn't matter how much you spent on the guy?
It depends if you got the money to pay him or not. I mean, that's the thing with Michigan State, man. Like, his buyout is something absolutely ridiculous as it stands. And I really don't think they have the money. I really think they are flat broke as far as the football department goes.
Yeah, it might be a little different if they were an Ohio State or Michigan, but you're right. With that kind of status, probably the leash feels like it's a little bit longer.
Yeah, I mean, thing is, it's not my choice either.
Yeah.
It's like going to Walmart and you have to buy a leash for the dog, and they're out of the ones where you can somewhat control them. No, the only leash they have is about a 50-foot long leash, and that's all you could get. That's what you're stuck with. You don't have a choice.
But also at Michigan State, what's the expectation there? I mean, I know they're paying him a lot, but if he gives them 9-win seasons, are they complaining?
No.
8-win seasons?
No, it's when they have the terrible years that they're going to complain.
Yeah.
They have some football pedigree there, so there are some expectations. I think anything less than 8 wins is going to be unacceptable.
Yeah. And you got to beat Michigan once every 4 years.
That's going to be tough.
All right, well, I appreciate y'all giving me time. I got to go eat dinner. Y'all have a good night.
Appreciate the phone call,
good
buddy.
Dinner, man.
A lot of new callers tonight. I'm loving it. Tennessee still up 28-0 with 8 seconds left in the first quarter. We're going to line up 5 wide. My favorite play, Forverts.
I like the dagger myself.
We've got 2 touchdowns, both through the air. 2 completions, 50 yards, 2 touchdowns. Phil is absolutely dominating on defense right now. Nobody can stop Phil.
That's our boy. When we knew when he was a sophomore, he's going to be a headhunter, and now he's really come on for us. We've got high hopes that he wins the Buckus Award this year.
John, I would like you to know that I am a quarterback wearing a neck roll.
I'm not surprised.
With a visor.
You know, one thing's missing from this offense, and just wait till I get my guys in, but we need a fullback. It pains me that Tennessee nowadays doesn't really utilize a fullback. I'm a sucker for a good fullback.
You know what it's
wait
time to do?
Wait till I get my guys in.
It's time to run the ball. It's time to run the ball. Let's hand the ball off to 2-5, a.k.a. Tommy. And let's pound one in.
There's a fullback.
Got that V10, son.
Oh, man, I should have put him as number 10. We could have called him the V10.
Ooh.
Tommy gets the first down for 11 yards. It'll be first and goal. Okay. What do we do here? I say we line up in the goal line formation, run a little play action, dump the ball to Roberto. Jordan Moore on the other side of the line. And Phil is the other tight end. And Moore is wide open. 2 touchdowns for Jordan Moore.
Blitnikoff Award winner.
Yeah, I don't even think that one's going to be an argument at that point. So imagine if we go down to Texas the first time we go down to Austin. And something like this were to happen. I don't think it'll be 35-0. It very well could be 21 or 28-0. If we go down there, Sark is going to get scrambled like an egg.
As long as they throw the horns down at some point, and you know somebody from Tennessee is going to do it, I'll be happy.
We got guys that are going to do it.
So, on Texas, man, I think Texas is overhyped as it gets. Now, we know they play Alabama. I think it's, what, week 2 or week 1? I know they got week 0 now. Is it week 1 or week 2?
I think it's week 2.
I think so, too.
Same
but
as last year.
Either way, it don't matter if it's going to be week 9 or 10. I think Alabama beats Texas like a drum. I think it's going to look like the Oregon-Georgia game last year.
Be like one of those deals like TCU in Texas where TCU was the underdog. That was the most money I'd ever made on college football was that weekend. Phil is just giving the business to this quarterback right now.
Alabama's going to absolutely shellack Texas.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm.
What do you think is going to happen?
I mean, I think if I'm putting money on it, I'm taking Alabama to win, but I do not think – I mean, last year, Texas almost won that game. They get Arch Man – I mean, Quinn Ewers will still be playing, but Quinn Ewers got hurt that game. Probably the reason Alabama ended up winning is because Quinn Ewers went down. I just don't think it'll be some, you know, blowout game there in Bryant Denny. I think Texas will be solid this year, and I think they're not going to be scared of Alabama because of what happened last year.
Yeah, I think they're a solid team, too. Now, just by saying that they get waxed by Alabama, I don't think that's any sort of a slide on Texas as much as I am just confident in Alabama. But, you know, man, I don't know. With it being in Alabama's favor, both home now, you know, and having the win last year, I don't know. I just haven't seen anything out of Ewers. I think he's kind of plateaued a little
bit. Damn it, Tommy.
I agree. I think Ewers is a lot of talk. And, I mean, he could prove us wrong this year. Don't get me wrong. He's, you know, a talent, but nothing last year screamed, oh, this guy should be a first-round NFL draft pick by any stretch.
Oh, absolutely agree. I mean, I'm prone to think that Arch is a little overrated. I don't think if he had that last name that he'd have the rating that he has. He'd probably be a low four-star.
What if his name was Arch Nelson?
Arch Nelson, he would probably, or that's, I love that. But, he'd probably be a low four-star, maybe a low four-star. The competition he played up against is just not, and am I to understand that he's a mentor at the Manning Passing Academy?
Dude, what?
I saw he was going.
He's going to be there. Joe Milton's going to be there.
So he's mentoring
gonna be a
Joe
few
Milton.
Ones, and I swear I read that he's a mentor at the academy now.
Why?
Nepotism.
Yeah, clearly nepotism. But, I mean, how though, is like a college freshman going to be instructing these guys? Like, hey, this is what's wrong with your mechanic. Yeah. Trust me. You know, like, come on, dude.
Well, Philly just recorded his third sack of the ball game.
I think Alabama's in trouble. I don't think they're – unless that quarterback situation is something we don't know about, I don't see them being some dominant force where they can blow out a Texas even.
See, there's been Alabama's had these question marks multiple times. You know, they'll graduate a national championship quarterback, and it's like, well, who's going to come in and do this? And I realize that Bryce Young, Tua, guys like that, Jalen Hurts even, are generational.
Jay Coker existed, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously. And you know, guys like A.J. McCarron, Greg McElroy, nobody really would have been like, hey, these guys are going to go on to be legendary. You know, Mac Jones, I realize he was rated fairly high. Old Mac and Cheese Jones down there. But the Alabama has these questions every single year. And until I've seen otherwise from Nick Saban, it's just hard not to buy in that they're going to at least win 10 games.
I agree.
That's tough.
But play devil's advocate, we've seen Tyler Buchner play high-level football already. And it wasn't great.
I think it'll be Milroe.
And we've seen Milroe, and obviously that was, you know, a unique situation. Mm-hmm. You can't judge him off that too hard. But we've seen him, and it wasn't great. Those other guys, they were just, you know, recruits mainly that it was their turn to be number one on the depth chart.
Yeah. Now, with Milroe, like you said, you know, the situation was unique last year. I feel like it was kind of thrown in the fire, thrown to the wolves, whatever analogy you want to use. But now he's got a full offseason, preseason of preparation. And like I said, man, just until – and Nick Saban always gets what the maximum out of these guys. And, I mean, there's guys buried on the depth chart down there, like there in Georgia, that are third stringers that would start, you know, other places. So these are guys that have been waiting their turn that haven't transferred, that have been, you know, learning under the system that I just – until he does something to the contrary, I'll never count Nick Saban out. So it's hard for me to find two losses for them on the schedule at all.
What you need to find is a new offensive lineman. Our offensive line is not good.
You can't find two?
Mason there.
What's that?
You can't find two, John?
No, I can't.
Are you saying we lose?
Well, you got to do this to be Max. It's in Alabama. I think that Alabama's defense is going to be the tail of that game. I'm not trying. All right, I'll go ahead and just get my prediction way super early. Yeah, I think that Tennessee falls that game either. It'll be anywhere from 3 to 14 points, I think, somewhere around in that margin. I think they keep it close the whole time. And honestly, the only reason I think Alabama gets a better Tennessee this year is a little bit of the revenge factor and a lot of bit of the T-Town factor.
Fair.
That's fair. You get no knocks from either of us.
But I will say this also. Tennessee keeps that game close. They give Alabama everything they want and then some. And, I mean, I'm not saying Tennessee can't win because I fully believe they can. And I think they will, you know, until it doesn't happen. But my heart is saying go Vols, but my gut's saying, hey, Alabama by 3-10.
I mean, that's probably fair. What the odds makers say, too.
I mean, it's fair, and I'm going to go ahead and get this out of the way. We're going to simulate the rest of this. We're up 42-0 in the second quarter. I have 3 touchdowns through the air. Max has 2 via receptions, 1 via a punt return for a touchdown. So we're going to go ahead and say that Tennessee just beats the hell out of Texas. We're going to go ahead and super sim this to the end of the game. Only thing we're not going to sim is the final segment.
All right.
That is coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment of the program. It's overtime. It's Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, John Dunn, Max Pennell, and you. It is time to max out your winnings. Max, what you got for us this week? Or today, rather.
Well, it's a light slate today. No NBA, no college baseball. We're really in the dog days right now.
We are hurting right now.
I got 3 bets.
Okay.
The first one is in the NHL Stanley Cup game tonight. I got Vegas Panthers over 6 goals. Both games have gone over already in this series, the first two, pretty comfortably. Last game was a total of 9 goals. It was 7-2, and the one before, 5-2. Bobrovsky's really struggled in net for Florida this series after a great Eastern Conference Finals. Eastern Conference Finals. And, you know, a thing about hockey overs as well is a lot of empty nets late. If a game's 3-2 in the third period, or in this situation, 3-3, 4-2, you can pretty much bank on it because someone's either going to score an empty net or when they pull their goalie, going to score on the advantage. So that's a thing to take into account in that bet. The other one I like in that game is Jonathan Marchessault over 0.5. He's tallied a point or more in both games so far this series. He's a key cog in that Vegas offense. I like him to continue his point streak here in Game 3. And the third one is the Angels team total over 4.5 versus the Chicago Cubs. Drew Smyly's tossing today for Chicago. He got off to a great start, has really regressed his last few starts, has a 5.20 ERA in his last 5. Angels have a very dangerous lineup, which, you know, everyone knows Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani. And the Cubs are in the midst of a long West Coast road trip, and they've really started to tail off, especially in this series. I think, you know, they've been away now for 7-8 days. They have to look ahead to a series tomorrow in San Francisco, and their bullpen's not great. So even if Smiley only gives up 2 or 3 runs, they really lack an elite arm in that bullpen. I think the Angels score 5 or more pretty easily.
There you have it. Max out your winnings with Max. Check out FanDuel. It's promo code OVERTIME. So we had the final stats. I simulated the rest of the game because we were just kicking ass. Jake Miller at quarterback, 17 of 24, 279 yards and 7 touchdowns. Running the ball, Jake Miller, your quarterback, 7 attempts, 79 yards. Tommy Davis, 4 attempts, 17 yards. Receiving, Jordan Moore, 4 receptions, 58 yards, 2 touchdowns. Tommy Davis, 4 receptions, 57 yards, 1 touchdown. John Dunn, the free safety, 4 receptions, 63 yards and touchdown. Max Pennell, 4 receptions, 93 yards, 2 touchdowns. Roberto, 1 reception, 8 yards, 1 touchdown.
Still finding a way to work the tight end into the offense here.
Hey, it worked. Jordan, 7 tackles. Phil, 5 tackles, 4 for a loss, 3 of them being sacks. Foster, 4 tackles, 1 for a loss, 1 sack. You did not pick the ball off, John.
I'm hurt. I was just about to ask you about takeaways.
Yep. Christian, 1 field goal made on 1 attempted for 17 yards. Justin Hanna only punted the ball 1 time.
1 too many.
Yep. Jordan had 2 kick returns for 125 yards and a touchdown. Max had 6 punt returns for 135 yards and a touchdown. You might be the returner of the year.
Evan Berry level status right there.
Now let's just hope that nobody got hurt.
So, Coach Miller, let me ask you, your quarterback looked pretty good both on the ground and through the air today. What do you make of his play?
Oh, that's my son. He's the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. That's why I'm taking him to Jets Pizza tonight out in Farragut. Get some of that piping hot Jets Pizza with that full service bar that he's going to sit there and watch me drink because he's not old enough to drink yet.
So tell us a little bit about your special teams unit. Really came on hot for you today. Moore with 125 yards, Pennell with 135, both with a touchdown each. What do you got to make your special teams, Coach?
We just got dogs. I mean, that's all there is to it. We got dogs. Got Max back there. We got Jordan back there. They're going to house at least one a game each. No worries about our special teams at all. Get the ball to them. They're going to score. Don't kick it to them.
You got the best defensive coordinator of all time there in John Dunn. Defense looked pretty good today. What do you got to make of your defense, Coach? Pretty shut down unit.
Well, I mean, the big thing is, you know, we allowed minus 3 yards in the first quarter, but then Texas turns it around, gets 28 points on the board, 391 total yards. Part of that's because we got guys playing both sides of the ball, but unfortunately, when you lack the talent this team does, you got to put some guys on both sides of the ball, and that's what we did, and that's why we're able to score 73, and they were only able to score 28.
Defensive coordinator sounds like he's holding out for a raise.
He very well might be. Great job on the run game, though, holding them to minus 20 yards, rushing the ball. That was fantastic.
We appreciate it, Coach. Good luck in week two.
Yes, sir.
Who we got in week two? Stanford?
Week two, I think we have
LSU.
That is the second SEC game.
Oh, man.
Man. Just sheer domination from the Vols, the fan-run Vols.
I saw something on Twitter, if y'all want to discuss it for the last 7 minutes.
Sure.
It was about Heupel, and we just say we're not going to slander Heupel or anything.
Right.
But is it troublesome that nobody he's recruited yet on the offensive line has started or looks like they might start this year?
I don't think so. I mean, we did have transfers that came in that played valuable
minutes. We
did
have transfers.
So, I mean, to be honest, it doesn't really worry me.
Yeah, same. I mean, I feel like he's going after more veteran guys and attacking the portal for that need, which I love personally because having experience in the trenches, you know, I talk all the time about things that are uncoachable, talent, speed, IQ, you know, instinct, things like that. Size is one of those things. Experience is one of those things. So I think he's going after these dudes in the portal, man. I think he's knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, I mean, do we really have anything to worry about? Let's call this like it is. Our secondary might be the only thing.
That's it. That's really my biggest concern is the secondary. I do worry about the offensive line a little bit just from a turnover standpoint, but not like turnovers, but losing guys. But outside of the offensive line and the secondary, I have a few minor concerns there. But, you know, week one against Virginia, they got an opportunity to kind of clean some stuff up and then move on into SEC play later on down the road. And it's a big game to open up SEC play with, man.
That it is. And you know, going back to the Virginia game, how's it going to feel for Tony Elliott on the other sideline, knowing that he was offered this job and he didn't take it?
Well, when he's looking at the scoreboard and he's down by 5 or 6 possessions, it's probably not going to feel too good.
No, it's not. That's exactly where I was going with that. And he turned down the job. James Franklin turned down the job. And not a lot of people had a lot of confidence in Heupel. I mean, you go back, you look at the tweets from back then, and, I mean, it's obvious from a lot of these people.
Myself included.
What they thought. And I never will forget Weston, who was a former co-host of the Blitz. He called me up that morning as soon as he got word, and he's like, yeah, man, it's Heupel. It's Heupel. And I let out an obscenity that I cannot repeat, and I was like, okay, let me look at this guy. Let me watch some highlights of UCF, and we'll see what we got. And I, for whatever reason, had just forgot that they had beaten Auburn. Obviously, this wasn't under Heupel, but then they go back, and they're playing LSU the next year, a very highly ranked UCF team, as a matter of fact. And then you go 10-3 the next year, and then he slacked off in the last year, but it was a COVID year. So I was like, okay, well, nobody's really counting that year. Let's just move past that. I was like, okay, maybe he can do something here. It's like programs like UCF, they're not going to be at the top for long. They never are. Boise State, you know, they used to be a mid-major FBS powerhouse, I guess we could call them.
Yeah.
And even they tailored off, right?
Yeah.
Utah was another one of those teams before they joined the Pac-12. They had a 13-0 season. Like, teams like that, they don't stay around that long. Cincinnati.
Houston.
Houston is another one. So, I mean, these things happen. You know, you're going to have teams, whether it be coaching or talent, they're going to do something special at that level. Some team at some point is. That's always going to be like that. That's never going to change.
I was very wait and see on Heupel. I mean, clearly I was like, well, it's a stabilization hire. The program's in shambles. We need to get a nice guy in here to get the program, just right the ship, let somebody come out, you know, come in down the road and steer it. But Heupel, man, he's really, you know, we talk about how miraculous it is that it's been so fast, this turnaround. And, you know, honestly, he's got, we were talking about long leashes just a minute ago. I think he's got a very long leash right now.
Oh,
and that's something
now.
No Tennessee coach has had for a long time.
Yeah, he's earned himself a lot of respect around Knoxville. I mean, and I think most of it has to do with beating Alabama and Florida in year two. I mean, he did something that Lane Kiffin couldn't do, Derek Dooley couldn't do.
That Alabama win made him a legend.
Yeah. I mean, we hadn't stormed the field since 1998. And, I mean, that just showed how much that win meant to this fan base, to this university.
There's that one dude.
To the point where Randy Boyd, when he was asked, how much is that going to cost? He said, it doesn't matter. We'll do this every year.
Was that that one dude that got the tattoo of Heupel smoking a cigar on his leg? Man, that's, I'm telling you, build a statue.
Ain't nobody getting a Jeremy Pruitt tattoo.
No, sir. Maybe the NCAA sanction committee.
Maybe. Dear God, he bless his heart. You almost felt sorry for the guy when he walked into that meeting. He looked so pitiful.
He still talks good about Tennessee. I don't know if he's pandering just to take some of the heat off of him from Tennessee, you know, fans and stuff, but he talks pretty good about Tennessee still.
Well, my guy Jake Crane from down in Nashville from the Daily Wire, he went on his show and he had good things to say about Tennessee.
Yeah, Crane's a good one too.
So, I mean, you know, that was just a really bad hire by Philip Fulmer.
It felt good at first with that resume, did. Man. It looked good. It was like, well, it's time for him to become a head coach somewhere. He'd been a part of, I don't know how many national title teams, just an obscene amount. And, I mean, his resume was ridiculous. I mean,
well,
when
it
I
wasn't
thing,
just
oh,
at Alabama. It was Florida State as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was everywhere he'd been, Georgia, Alabama, Florida State, everywhere he had been successful. He had a top 10 defense nearly every single year, but – you know, it looked good on paper, but being on paper and actually getting it done is two different things. Now, riding Jared Garantano into the ground wasn't too wise neither.
No, and that whole ordeal with him, that's just – I don't know what he could have been, but, man, that was just – that was all bad.
There's ever a period of Tennessee football history I want to block out of my mind. And I'm not saying I like him as a person, as a young man. He's very smart, kind young man, Garantano, but just not an SEC quarterback. If there was a specific time in Tennessee football history I could forget, it'd be the time he was here.
You know he's third on the Broncos depth chart? Somehow.
Did not know Ow. That.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt Sims made an NFL roster. He hung around for, I think, maybe a year or two.
Crompton,
Tyler
too.
Tyler Bray was on NFL roster for 12 years, it seemed like, just sitting back up.
Dude, he gets a pension for that.
Chase Daniel's still collecting $5-6 million a year.
Yeah, Tyler Bray is Chase Daniel Jr.
Yeah, exactly. I remember, I don't think he threw his first career NFL pass till like 2019.
Was that with the Chiefs? No, I don't
Bears.
Think it was. The Bears, that's right, yep. And didn't he end up starting a couple games for him?
He might have. There was a guy I followed on Twitter who was a Bears fan, but also a Tennessee fan, and was like, I've been waiting for this day for 4 years. Finally. Like, I love Tyler Bray in college. He's finally getting a shot.
Bray was – he was everything you wanted and more in a quarterback. I mean, people don't appreciate that guy enough.
Bray K-47.
It was incredible to watch him in that offense, especially that last year.
He could sling it, buddy.
That he could. That's going to do it for us. Thank you, John.
Appreciate you, Jake. Max.
Thank you, Max.
Thank you.
Something else coming up next here on WKGN. Tune in tomorrow for the Blitz. Green Out will not be here tomorrow. Interesting. Anyway, that'll do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.